The signs are everywhere. You left it for somebody other than you to be the one to care. You're lost inside your houses. There's no time to find you now.
Welcome to a very special episode of Signal of Doom. It's a Crisis in the Kremlin episode. I'm solo for the moment to record this one, and I'm really sitting here in grief and in mourning for the great Len Wein, who passed away on September 10, basically yesterday. Look, I mean, to me, such a loss, and such a gifted man, and it's a loss to comics. Writing, art, editing, the guy did it all. And, I mean, to break it down to bits and pieces, I believe he'd suffered for some time with various diseases. He'd been on dialysis, etc. So he'd had a tough time. And from a bit of research for this article, I saw that he'd been sick for a while, you know. And yet I've heard him, even in recent, you know, last couple of years, heard him on the Nerdist podcast and stuff, talking to the guys there and doing interviews with them and telling stories, and he was funny and he was warm and it was worth listening to. I really, really felt like you got an insight into the man just from those brief interviews. And for me, this is the guy who co-created Wolverine, which for me is like, he's just so far up there in terms of a hero I've long loved and identified with, and just in general supported. And to think, this is someone who wrote Swamp Thing back in the 70s with Bernie Wrightson on art, which is considered like a pinnacle. I'm not saying anything people don't know, but I want to pass the torch around. and share some stories. He co-created Swamp Thing. He wrote that in the 70s with Bernie Wrightson on art, and it was considered, I believe, fairly revolutionary, and it certainly looked magnificent. And he had something he would always, I'm sure, be very proud of. He was also an editor, and the list of stuff he edited is impressive. He edited Saga of the Swamp Thing with Alan Moore on writing, which is basically Alan Moore's entree into American comics, and some very full-on stuff, like, that was kind of breaking the mold and setting a pathway for what was to come. So he was the editor on that. He was the editor on Watchmen, which is amazing, really. For, like, you would have thought, in my mind at least, an old-school guy, and there he is editing Watchmen with Alan Moore and writing duties, Dave Gibbons on art. And, I mean, let's face it, that is a benchmark of comics. So it just seems quality follows the Len Wein name around. When I look through these Wikipedia, I mean, I know he was on Spidey. Obviously, he, not just Wolverine, he's the co-creator of Nightcrawler, Storm, and Colossus. So he helps revive that whole superhero Marvel team in the X-Men in the mid-70s. He then obviously passes it over to Chris Claremont, who then goes on to write it for a long, long time. But, I mean, he was there at the inception point, I guess, designing characters to relaunch the X-Men, which at that point were like a CD-list Marvel brand. They weren't a premier brand. And, of course, they wanted to become one of their A-brands, one of their main franchises. So it's just, when I think about it, I just think about a guy who is everywhere in terms of, like, the 70s and into the 80s. He's everywhere at Marvel and DC. I'm looking here through his Wikipedia. He starts on, like, Teen Titans. He goes through, and you actually watch it, it leads to a run on, obviously, on Spider-Man. Now, that's something I'd be interested into checking out his Spider-Man stuff. I'm also a huge Justice League of America fan. It's, you know, Signal of Doom is, in a way, a bit of an homage to the Justice League in terms of the Legion of Doom. And I think Stu and I will check out in tribute. We will check out his Justice League of America issues, which I believe are 100 to 114, and I'd be interested to see what they're like. I'd heard this story before, that he, with his friends like Jerry Conway and Steve Englehart, I believe Steve Englehart, I'm going to get it wrong probably, but I mean, I wasn't there in the early 70s, but I believe at the time Len Wein was writing his Justice League, Steve Englehart over at Marvel was on Avengers, and they did sort of like an unofficial crossover between the two, which they dreamt up. It's sort of like just not a retreat in terms of like a commercial retreat, like as friends. And it was done so that you could read through the different issues and actually a fan would be able to pick it up. But it sort of went under the nose of the companies, who obviously weren't doing a full-on crossover between Marvel and DC at the time. Just clever stuff like that. And let's look at, if you judge a man by, you know, the friends he keeps and by his peers, how his peers regard him, all I've seen in the last, you know, 24 to 48 hours is just the amount of old, like, legends themselves, like, paying tribute to Len Wein. And it comes from the heart. It's not lip service. It's amazing. And, I mean, one of the most, I guess you could say, respected people of all is Paul Levitz, who was a long-time DC editor and writer, and I'm sure many other places as well, but a huge, you know, respected force in the industry. I mean, I'm going to read out his elegy for Len Wein, because I think he said it so much, you know, so clearly and so powerfully. And he writes, this is on his Facebook, "Len was a relentlessly positive force in comics. As a fan, he was there from the beginning, coining the term Comic-Con the first time the tribe gathered in public. As a writer, he contributed new ideas to every project, even in the era when the deals for talent in the field gave him no incentive to do so. As an editor, he guided work that's endured for decades. As an artist, he had a momentary career, but used his gifts for decades afterwards to design costumes, rough out logos, and guide new talents. And through it all, he took joy in the stories themselves, the artwork, even the nuance of a well-placed balloon, and shared both his pleasure and his knowledge generously. His characters will long survive him, children of a restless imagination, who captured the attention of the world and made fortunes for others. Most of all, Len took a childish glee in being loved, in his stories being remembered, in the work itself. He gloated endlessly at the idea that he could travel across the country and in any state, have a friend or a dozen who could, he could call on in an emergency. Battling pain and illness for his entire life, He never let it affect his optimism or attitude or keep him from writing or gathering friends around him as soon as he left a hospital bed. There are a few talents that shape a generation. Len was that to his own generation of comics professionals and to a generation of readers. He was a rare gift to us all. I mean, it's really quite powerful stuff. And then he also writes, and on a personal note, in many ways, Len and I were very different people, approaching life and work in often opposite ways, but that only served to bond us as we shared a deep respect for each other across these differences. We collaborated in many ways. We wrote for each other, Len doing the very first Batman Limited series for me doing Starman with Stevie Ditko for Len, me getting to dialogue stories Len plotted but was unable to finish due to illness or deadline pressures, and then there was an elongated man story. But that's a long story in itself. I tread the dedication he and Marv Wolfram wrote to me for hitting in the face with a fish, and the laughter he brought to my poker table. No one I know loved life more, despite what life threw at him. And I'm perversely glad that as he passed, I was doing an assignment to fill in for him. He would have done it better, but I can dedicate it to him this time. I mean, doesn't that say it all? I mean, I also read, you know, Jerry Conway wrote a pretty touching tribute as well, and he was a collaborator. And a rival and a friend and all these things. Like, these are professionals who'd been in the industry through the 70s and the 80s, and they built it into what we are today. I honestly think if you co-create Wolverine, you should be, you know, worth $500 million. And I'm sure he wasn't. And that's something that the industry has to work out at some point, you know, and I'll say no more on it in tribute of just wanting to stay positive for the moment. But I think Paul Levitt's made an excellent point. And when it comes from the top like that, you know, down to someone who was a huge servant to the genre and a shaper of the genre, he needs to be remembered as one of the all-time greats. And as far as I'm concerned, Len Wein is that. And, you know, let's hope he's in a better place without pain. Okay, and I just had a very small personal reflection related to, I guess, it's related to Wolverine and by extension Len Wein. So, probably about a year or so ago, part of my job, we had to go up this, it's basically a weekend away, do reflections kind of thing. Not something I'm hugely normally into in terms of work. You know, one of those guys who just functions on their own fuel. But regardless, I had to go along. We walked up this mountain and stuff. And I thought, well, let's at least get in the spirit of things, you know, like let's try to make an attempt to appear as if I'm going to achieve something from walking up this mountain. And I remember putting on my Wolverine shirt, and it's a very basic one. It's very thin now because I've had it for so many years, a T-shirt, and it's just blue, like a real washed out blue now, almost white, with a picture of Wolverine. If I have to guess, I mean, I would think it's potentially the Frank Miller Wolverine picture from the limited series with Chris Claremont from the, you know, the early 80s. Or potentially, maybe it's Len Wein or not. I actually don't know. But what I do know is I love this T-shirt. And it's such a pure, basic image of that very late 70s, early 80s Wolverine. I think he's not even in proper costume. He's in kind of like civilian clothes himself, a torn version of civilian clothes. And we walked up the mountain and eventually got to a part where you had to go and think about things. And I was just thinking about writing and stuff mostly, because I was in the middle of finishing. The first and one book was getting published. It already had a date to be published and was coming out probably a week after I came back from this vacation / retreat, whatever you want to call it. And I was, you know, I mean, as a writer, you do go internal a lot of the time. And I was just sitting there thinking about writing and stuff. And I thought about comics a lot because comics are a huge part of my creative inspiration. And just the simple act of going to the store has always, you know, from an early age, was something that I always found a lot of fun. Sometimes seeing the 1,000 comics on the wall, knowing that you couldn't read all the 1,000, and just the fact they were there used to excite me and make your choices from that huge selection, which of course is only bigger now. And I don't know, I remember thinking about Wolverine a lot, and I was like on that mountain and stuff, and I was just thinking, yep, at the end of the day, it can just boil down to you in front of a computer or in front of a pad, and you just tell these stories that come from your mind, and yes, are influenced by all sorts of different things, and cultural touchstones are there. And for me, it was things like Wolverine and Spider-Man, and I mean, they help. They actually help, I think, a lot of the time. Like, periods in my life, like, you know, yeah, you cut down the solo at times or whatever, and that's where comics have been a comfort. And other times, you're cruising along absolutely fine, and the comics are still a comfort as well. So they're just there for all occasions, and I think the beautiful thing is now people can access all the old stories. You can go back and read that issue of Incredible Hulk is at 181, where him and Wolverine and Hulk fight and stuff, and I think the cameo, the issue before where Wolverine just pops out of behind a bush or something. You know, and it's all there for the modern reader, which I think is so great. You don't need to have been around on the scene in 1970, you know, whatever, to enjoy the greatness of these things. And I know I'll be holding my collection of Len Wein's Batman stories extra tight. Like, for someone who thought nothing was to be gained from walking up a mountain and reflecting inside himself, I did gain something, and maybe it was some weird premonition of what was to come, but I was thinking about the creators of the properties, and I was thinking about that as I walked up that mountain, and then as I sat down and was, like, sitting there and stuff, it was floating around in my head, and I feel like, you know, I'm not religious, but definitely do feel like we pass out of these bodies, out of these shells, and you know, we go somewhere else, even if it's just to dissipate inside the universe, whatever, but we flow through. And all my love and all my peaceful vibes go to Len Wein. Thank you.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I'm driving on, I'm on your side. Oh, time gets rough. And friends just can't be found like a bridge over troubled water. I will lay me down like a bridge over troubled water. I will lay. When you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you, I'll take your part. Oh, I'm sailing.
just a very brief episode. I just wanted to... I was going to bring Dracy in for Drew's views, but unfortunately, power is out in Atlanta due to the storms, the hurricane, I guess. So Drew can't be here. But, I mean, we will talk more about Len with Stu on the normal signal episode this week coming up. I'm recording, by the way, my house is getting renovated, so I'm just in the bedroom right now. So if there's a bit of an echo, excuse me, we'll interlace some music into the episode because I really want Len to, you know, go in peace. Okay, thank you very much for your time. I much appreciate it. Love you all. Goodbye.
Well, I dreamed I saw the knights in armor come, saying something about a queen. There were peasants singing and drummers drumming, and the archers split the tree. There was a fanfare blowing to the sun. There was floating on the breeze. Look at Mother Nature on the run in the 20th century. Look at Mother Nature on the run in the 20th century. I was lying in a burned out basement with the full moon in my eyes. I was hoping for a replacement when the sun burst through the sky. There was a band playing in my head, and I felt like I could cry. I was thinking about what a friend had said. I was hoping it was a lie. Thinking about what a friend had said. I was hoping it was a lie. Sun. There were children crying and colors flying all around the chosen ones. All